This is the lunch special. Get ready for some really hip music, ladies and gentlemen. Straight out of you-know-where, the jazz and blues side of things, we're here with Professor Emeritus William B. Gould IV. And I have to say the fourth because he just let me know that it was a sixth born. And we're going to get into all that. Welcome to KZSU. Welcome back to KZSU because this is not your maiden voyage.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
Thanks so much for showing up. You have an incredible history. You've written many books. And I don't want to waste too much time right now. At the bottom of the hour, we'll get into your work here at Stanford and everywhere else around the world. But you brought some great jazz and some ballads, standards. Is there a theme to the music today, Mr. Gould?
Well, I'd say the theme is really Bill. Bill is fine.
Oh, okay.
The theme is that this is what emerged out of the so-called straight-ahead period in the wake of bebop in the late 40s. This really begins with the 50s. A lot of these records are from the 50s and 60s, some of them just over the past 20 years or so. It's all straight-ahead. It's all ballads. It's all what we used to call modern jazz, but they don't call it that anymore.
You want to set this next? So, well, first of all, that was Oscar Peterson Trio with a song they called Blues for Scotia. And coming up is the Lynn, how do you say her last name?
Ariel.
Ariel Trio. You want to set this up at all?
Well, Lynn Ariel is someone who I've come to know. Actually, I've met her and listened to her a number of times in Yoshi's. I'm on her email list. I try to find out wherever she's playing. She has. She's a very inspirational woman, a young woman who plays the standards. And this next piece that we're going to hear kind of gives me moves slowly and kind of gives me goosebumps.
All right, here it is.
Thank you.
Lynn Arriol with some sweet, beautiful piano music. And today we're joined by Professor Emeritus of Law, William B. Gould IV. And in case you just tuned in, this is a lunch special on KZSU. That was beautiful, Bill. And you said you see her at Yoshi's when she comes around, huh?
Yes, not she doesn't come around enough, unfortunately. She's been here a couple of times.
Where's she from?
I'm not sure where she's from. I'm not sure whether she's from the United States or Latin America.
You never asked her?
I've never asked her. I've only had very, unfortunately for me, very brief conversations with her.
She speak with an accent?
No. Oh. No.
Probably New York. Anyway, you brought so much great music that not to rush it or push it, but we definitely want to get as much of this as we can in. And next up is a song for your father, isn't it?
It's called Song for My Father.
And you want to speak about this? Because there's a kind of a reason, isn't
well,
it?
It reminds me, unfortunately, what I have here is not the lyrics, but the lyrics remind me very much of my own father, who was, as much as a human being can be, perfect in every sense of the word.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, greatest man that I ever met.
Wow. And was he into law, too?
No, no. He had nothing. He had a deep suspicion of lawyers. And very, it wasn't particularly, but once he discovered that I was interested in law, of course, he encouraged me and promoted my interest in it and assisted me emotionally, financially when I was in law school.
What was your father's profession?
My father was an electrical engineer. And he set up a radio for me, a shortwave radio, ham radio downstairs in our cellar where I could listen to my favorite team, the Boston Red Sox, on radio long before the days of, you know, cable television.
Wow.
We didn't even have a television at that point.
Now, your dad's gone now, right?
Yes, my father's been gone for many years.
Do you think that, did he get to see you? You know, after college and see you have a career?
Yes, he did. He
must have been proud, huh?
I think he was. I think you know, I can never really,
he was,
compare myself to him, but I think he was very proud.
William B. Gould, Professor Emeritus of Law, here with us for the hour. Song from my father, Horace Silver. It's called A Song for My Father. It's by Horace Silver, the great piano player, presented here on the lunch special by Professor Emeritus of Law William B. Gould IV, and he wants me to call him Bill, so I don't want my producer getting mad thinking I'm being overly relaxed with you, so because she does it. She'll beat me up if she thinks I'm disrespecting the guests. But anyway, usually around the bottom of the hour, I get into a little bit of what our guest is about here at Stanford. We're going to play a Count Basie set coming up, and I'm going to have you set that up right after this. William B. Gould, you were born in Boston, Massachusetts in 1936.
Oh, goodness. Yeah,
what a time to be born, huh?
Can't tell that.
The Goulds of Boston have been there since 1870.
Yes.
There's a William B. Gould the sixth now. That would be your son's son.
Yes.
That's amazing. you went to college in Rhode Island and Cornell. You went to Cornell for law. Graduated in 61. You specialize in labor law, sports law, and employment discrimination. Now, you've been on NPR with Michael Krasny for your books. You've written many books, 10 books. But in 1960 to 62, you went to Detroit to work for the UAW, the United Auto Workers, as a lawyer for them.
Yes.
You then ended up in London in the 60s as well to study at the School of Economics. But then in 65, you ended up at the National Labor Relations Board as one of their lawyers, huh?
Yes, from 63 to 65.
That must have been a very interesting experience in itself. You've really covered the map. You didn't just come out of school and go into teaching. You've been where the rubber meets the road. And one of your, I guess, probably most well-known accomplishments is you were involved in the baseball strike and
yes.
the settling of it.
Yes,
or
yes.
The government response to it, I guess, huh?
Right. When I was chairman of the National Labor Relations Board, we intervened and produced an order which got the players back to the field and got the owners back to the bargaining table. And we had baseball and we had collective bargaining, which was the best of two worlds as far as I was concerned.
So you must have really been like out there in the media at that point, too. I mean, they had to be talking to you and asking you, did you have a point person that went and talked to the media, or were you in on that, too?
Well, we had, I did from time to time talk to the media. We also had a point person, as you call them, who fielded questions that would come up. There was a time there, I think a lot of people haven't heard of the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, but boy, a lot of people heard of it that
with the baseball strike.
Yes, yes.
Sure, sure. you've written 10 books. You got a brand new one coming out this summer, Baseball in an Age of Prosperous Turmoil.
Yes.
It sounds like an amazing title, and we're going to read it here on the show. Well, we're going to read it and then get you back on your book tour and have you come in, and we'll go over that book for sure. But looking back on your life, just briefly, in your wildest dreams, looking back now from, you know, you're retired now. So looking back from when you were a kid, did you ever dream that you'd end up coming this far, doing this many things, having this much effect?
Well, you know, I although you speak of me as being retired, I'm still pretty active on a lot of fronts, and I'm still hoping to accomplish some big things in front of me. And
name
so
a few.
I like to. I've just been an independent monitor, so to speak, for a big British multinational corporation, where we've tried to devise, particularly during the Bush period, private machinery that would effectively protect the rights of workers who alleged that they had been discriminated against in union organizing. So I'd like to do more about that. I'd like to do more union, books dealing with labor. I tend to think that probably my biggest accomplishment, we didn't talk about this off mic, was representing black and Mexican-American workers in the 1970s when I was both at Wayne State and here. I was involved in a number of class actions in Detroit, here on the West Coast, and in Pittsburgh, representing a wide variety of different kinds of workers in public utilities and trucking. Musicians. I represented the black musicians in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
And they used to take me out to Crawford's Bar and Grill, where we would hear a lot of the kind of music that we're hearing here during this hour.
Oh, there is. So there's a route to this. Looking back on your life so far, even though you're still pretty active, did you ever, in your wildest dreams as a kid, did you ever think you'd end up in this kind of position?
Well, I suppose I didn't think that I would wind up in this precise position. I had the idea when I was going to law school and in law school that there were three basic things I wanted to do. I wanted to go into court and to represent people and to try to change the status quo for people in employment relations, for people who've been discriminated against, like my father was discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be involved in public policy. I wanted to be involved in the political process. Well, I've been more at the periphery there. And I wanted also to write. I wasn't so much thinking of teaching at that point. I wanted to write a lot of things. Well, I haven't yet received the Pulitzer or anything like that, so I'm still working on these things, and I hope to really accomplish something before I depart from.
Was Thurgood Marshall any kind of influence or inspiration to you?
Very much so. For Thurgood Marshall was a great inspiration to me. I had the chance to meet him a couple of times when I was in my teens, and he was, I would say, more than anything, it was Brown against Board of Education, which was decided when I was a senior in high school, mm-hmm. that influenced me to go to the law.
Really?
I saw more than anything through what he did before the Supreme Court in that case.
Yeah.
The way in which the law could work for the betterment of our people throughout the country and throughout the world, and Thurgood Marshall was a great inspiration to me.
Yeah, that case actually catapulted him into the Supreme Court.
Yes, I would say so, and properly so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Professor Emeritus, but still active, don't call him retired, William B. Gould, the fourth, and there's six of them now. One was just born when?
September 3.
All right, not too old. next up, we got a Count Basie set, three in a row, and we're starting out with Corner Pocket?
Yes.
This is it on the lunch special.
This will get people snapping their fingers, I think. Thank you.
three in a row by the Count Basie Band from the early 90s without Count Basie. He had already passed away, and that was all presented by Professor Emeritus of Law William B. Gould IV. Bill, that stuff was rocking, man.
Oh.
Did that bring back memories?
Oh, it does indeed.
Right in the middle of one of those solos, you told us a story about seeing the original Count Basie Band on the boardwalk at Asbury Park.
Yes.
Speak of that.
Oh, I saw that. They have Sonny Stitt was the drummer, just a fabulous drummer, in and out of prison, unfortunately, but he was a fabulous drummer, great band, and at the end of that, I just ran down the boardwalk as fast as I could. Such an exciting moment to hear those guys. And also, I had the chance a couple of years later to hear Basie again at 52nd Birdland at 52nd and Broadway.
New York City.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Just a wonderful experience. And I've always felt passionately about Basie.
And having been a lawyer for the Black Musicians Union in Detroit, that must really... it's got to go close to your heart, huh?
Oh, indeed, indeed. Those guys were really very kind to me, very generous, and I hope I was able to do something for them that reciprocated.
I'm sure you were. We got Shirley Horn up next. Why Shirley?
Well, Shirley just sings so exquisitely. She can do the blues, and I suppose most of all, I just love this tune. It just brings back such memories to me. You know, that there are times when you're just in the most remote part of the world and you think about someone that you've known previously, and I thought about you. That's what she sings on this tune. I just, I think she's fabulous.
I took a trip on the train. And I thought about you. I passed a shadowy lane. Then I thought about you. Two or three cars parked under the stars. A winding stream. Moon shining down on some little town. And with each beam, same old dream. At every stop that we made, I thought about you. When I pulled down the shade, then I really got blue. I peeped through the crack. Looked at the track. The one going back to you. But what did I do? thought about you. At every stop that we made, I thought about you. But when I pulled down the shade,
thank you.
Well, an hour has gone by a lot faster than we realized, and we've tried to fit in all this great music that you brought, Professor Gould. And the last song is The Battle Hymn of the Republic by Gene Harrison, his trio. So we're going to talk over that and go out with that. But Professor Gould, we just heard from the Modern Jazz Quartet a tune called Concord off of the same titled album. And it's an original prestige album that you said you've had since
54.
Speak about that just a little bit.
Well, the Modern Jazz Quartet was, that's a group that really got to me early at a very formative period when I was becoming deeply involved with jazz. And they just encapsulate everything that I think is beautiful in music. They have a European influence. You can hear they play Bach, they play Handel, and they've woven that into a jazz structure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just exquisite. I've seen them in the 50s. They came back here to San Francisco, reunited in the 1980s when they rejoined with one another. And boy, are we going out on something. Now, I have to say that my father would regard what we're doing now as a bit of a sacrilege.
Talking over it.
Well, not just talking over it, but playing this to jazz. I mean, this was in our home.
Oh.
This had religious significance
right,
in our house.
Right,
and my father used to sing to me, marching through Georgia, all the songs that he had heard when he was a child. From the War of the Rebellion, as we called it properly.
Was your father in war?
My father wasn't in war. My father was in the Merchant Marine in between the wars.
Uh-huh.
My father was just about 40 at the time World War II broke out, and he worked in the Signal Corps in Fort Monmouth.
Interesting. Very interesting. We've run out of time. Professor Gould, William B. Gould IV, you can look him up on the Stanford homepage website and find out all you need to know. Will you please come back soon?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, Blue, you book it, and Bill, you come back, and we'll do this again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure.
You have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right.